Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, we have a bunch of calls to get to. We'll get back to those here in just a moment. I'm Scoot. It's turned into a partly cloudy afternoon. Look, let's just be prepared for this. Tomorrow is going to be cloudy and rainy, especially like through noon. And I guess at the beginning of our show, when we get together tomorrow at 1 o'clock, it may be raining. You know, don't let that bum you out, you know, because, I mean, it's okay if the weather changes. It's Friday. It's still going to be the beginning of the weekend. Got some good football games to watch this weekend. So I hope, you know, we'll do what we can to lift you up tomorrow, even though it might not be the most beautiful of Fridays. It's really what you make it. So Britney Spears' wife, I'm sorry, Drew Brees' wife, Britney, tweeted out that after crying for a few days, she was really grateful for this year. And she's talking about how her husband, Drew, had a really tough year, that he was dealing with not only 11 broken ribs and a collapsed lung, but he was also dealing with a torn fascia in his foot and a torn rotator cuff in his shoulder, that he was in a lot of pain. And I know I have the same question you would have about that. But anyway, he was a soldier, and he did it. And apparently this was his last season. So what is this talk about trading Michael Thomas? Yeah, this is like in the national media. NFL media's Ian Rappaport said on Monday that he says it's not imminent, but he wouldn't rule out the possibility of the Saints trading Michael Thomas to Jacksonville, because Jacksonville is going to be coached by former Ohio State coach Urban Meyer, who coached Michael Thomas when he was a college football player. And then, look, think about if you're a receiver. Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be drafted by the Jacksonville Jags. So that's going to be your quarterback? That would be one hell of a move for somebody like Michael Thomas. I hope it doesn't happen, because I love the guy here, but... You know, maybe there are a couple people nationally that are talking about that possibility. And I was also just thinking about a guy like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, here's this guy who comes out of college. He's going to get this, like, unbelievable contract. You know, that multi-million dollar contract. And he's living in Jacksonville, Florida. First of all, there's no income tax in Florida. So that's why a lot of athletes like to live in Florida. I'm sure Tom Brady was happy to move from New England to Tampa. But Trevor Lawrence, just think about how far his money will go in Jacksonville, Florida, compared to, say, Chicago, New York, L.A., San Francisco. I mean, like, athletes, you know, you could make the same salary from one city to the other, but depending on the city you live in, your money's going to go a hell of a lot further. And I always thought about that with the San Antonio Spurs. Like, housing is relatively cheap. Inexpensive in San Antonio, and so are a lot of things. And if you're making millions in the NBA, you're spending a hell of a lot more if you're in New York or Chicago or one of these other big cities than you are if you're in San Antonio. Okay, so coming up, going into the break, a song from an album that became number one on this day in 1978. The album remained number one for 24 consecutive weeks. Amazing. We'll play a song from that. And also later this hour, today would have been the 93rd birthday of a very famous person who at one point backstage at a Stones concert stole my cocaine. Yes, we'll tell that story coming up. Let's get back to your calls. From Mid-City, Jeff, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, you still talking politics?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, this has nothing to do with the extremists on either end. I just have a few questions to ask you. Who stated on the floor of Congress or wherever that their one mission was to make Obama's presidential run a one term only?
Nobody.
Did a Republican or a Democrat say that?
Nobody. No, I don't think anybody said that on the floor of the Senate.
I'm correcting myself. I don't mean on the floor.
Okay.
But Mitch McConnell was quoted to say
there were those reports.
No. So this is where the split began. Who, with all these over the years, who is constantly approaching and saying, we want to compromise, we want to compromise, and which party is saying, no, it's our way or no way?
Well, I know what you want me to say, the Republican Party.
Correct. The Democrats are constantly saying, we'll compromise. The Republicans never wanted to compromise.
Well, I think
so
the argument
isn't a 50-50 fault. There is definitely a little fault there, a lot of fault on the Republican side, and this is what angered so many Democrats.
Yeah, there could be a little more. I mean, you know, but when it comes to compromising, the Democrats in some cases don't want to compromise either. But Jeff, I understand your point. And again, I mean, we're keeping score here. And the point is that, you know,
I'm not keeping score. It's a fact that Mitch McConnell said he wanted to make Obama fail.
I'm not denying that.
Democrats never said that about a president.
Well, I'm talking, Jeff, don't get upset. I'm talking about the idea that neither side wants to compromise. That's the point that I'm making.
True. That's not true. The Democrats many times wanted to compromise over the health thing. They wanted to
compromise.
That's
okay.
No.
They might sometimes, but they don't always. I get your point. It's a point well taken. You know, in a lot of ways, the Republican Party has acted like the bully party. And they've been more into gaining power than doing stuff with their power in terms of passing legislation and doing things. So, you know, but at some point, Jeff, one side should stand up and go, wait a minute, we've got this cycle going on. They did it, we did it, then they did it. Well, they did it last, so now we're going to do it. At what point does somebody say, wait a minute, you know what? In the name of the Democratic Party or in the name of the Republican Party, we're going to stand up and we're going to change this precedent and we're not going to be that way anymore. I'm waiting for that kind of courage.
And don't you feel that that is what Biden's trying to do right now?
Well, it's too early to tell, but I mean, it sort of sounds like it. But this is what he's saying now is reminiscent of most new presidents.
But did the Trump sound like that from the beginning?
No, of course
he
not.
He was the Biden from the very beginning. Many people encouraged that and embraced it.
I get it.
He was clearly a bully. So much of this is coming from one side. Causing this issue in this country much more from one side than the other.
You know, I don't know
which party is concerned about the greater good, social good? Is it the Democrats or the Republicans about me? The Democrats. The Democrats are being called evil because they're concerned about the greater good.
Well,
and the Republicans who have wonderful health care that say, well, we don't care about them. I've got mine. You're on your own.
All right, Jeff, I'm glad you called. You know, he has a point. Because there are Republicans that do not want abortion to be legal. But they sure as hell don't talk about any plans to take care of a child that's born out of wedlock. And so that's a problem. There are problems with it's, you know, one of the problems with the Democrats wanting to take care of everybody is that a negative thing about that is it creates this idea that the government owes me something. And because of this liberal mentality of, we'll take care of you, people have taken advantage of the system and have developed career choices out of living off the government. That's not good. Not only does it take money from the government, but it also sets a mindset that is not conducive to a successful civilized society. And there are people on both sides that feel like they're entitled to things. But there should be, you know, there should be reform when it comes to that. So look, I mean, you can argue that one side's worse than the other, but look, they're both bad. Let's go to Harahan and Oscar. You're on WWL.
Cookie.
Wait, no.
Hey, Oscar.
Yes.
Hey, Oscar. You're on WWL. Hey, Oscar.
Oh, hey. Sorry.
That's all right.
Chit-chatting with the kids.
That's okay.
Yeah. The last caller, I think, had some good points. You were talking about the economy, and look, I've been, you know, it's saying for a long time the stock market is not the economy, you know.
Right.
And look, a lot of people have been riding this Biden bounce, right? The investments have been going up since his election, right? But you got to look at, you know, I think they're saying, and you might have to look up Snoops or Snopes. I don't know how I pronounce it about as well as you do, Scoop.
Yeah, I think Snopes.
Yes, is it true that Trump is the only president since Herbert Hoover during the Great Recession that will leave office with fewer jobs? The U.S. will have fewer jobs than when he entered the office.
I don't know. That would be something to look up. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I know that maybe. there was so much talk about how great the economy was, but you know it wasn't great for everybody. And you're right. The stock market doesn't help a hell of a lot of Americans who struggle every day, and they can't even relate to that.
No, only about 10% of people in the United States even have stocks, and most of those are in 401ks and stuff, so they're not worried. You know, they're not participating in the, like, if one company is doing well or something
right.
like that. But the other thing,
Oscar,
is,
I just got confirmation from Ian Hoke in the studio that President Trump is the only modern president who left office with fewer jobs than he took. Than were there when he took office. So that was confirmed.
That's shocking. I mean, I've always known. I think you can look at modern history. Every Republican president we've had has done way worse than any Democratic president, as far as the economy is concerned, the broader economy, you know, and you keep electing these guys and saying they're going to run it like their business. Well, I think Trump did run it like his business. I mean, we're almost bankrupt, right? He's got $1 trillion. He ran up $1 trillion deficit. Yeah.
They showed no regard for.
We got nothing to show for it. And we have nothing to show for it, right?
No regard for the deficit, which is something that Republicans are supposed to stand up for. Oscar, I have to get to a break here. I really appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. If you want to join us, the WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. My email is scoot@wwl.com. And I'm answering a few of these emails off the air during breaks, and read a couple on the air as well. It was on this day, January 21st, 1978, the soundtrack album for Saturday Night Fever hit number one in the U.S. It stayed there for 24 weeks. That is just unprecedented. I remember the phenomenon. I was part of it. We've talked about it on the show. I wore platform shoes, bell-bottom pants, polyester shirts. Not proud of it, but it's part of my past that I'm willing to admit to. But yeah, this was just, this was such a phenomenon. And the Bee Gees were part of this. But, you know, they reinvented themselves. In fact, I heard that the Bee Gees wrote these songs without ever seeing the movie. That's amazing to me. In fact, the album was so good. We'll do another song from Saturday Night Fever coming up out of this break. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Man, you know, a lot of people first heard this music and thought, man, who are those chicks? Man, they're really good. No, it's the Bee Gees. Saturday Night Fever hit number one on this day, January 21st, 1978. It was number one for 24 weeks. Amazing. It was truly a phenomenon. And the Bee Gees, according to what I've heard and read, they wrote the music without having seen the movie. And the music fit the movie so well. And I mean, dare I say this on the air? John Travolta had a great body. I mean, look, I don't look. I'm secure enough with my masculinity to admit it. I mean, if you're a guy, if you're a woman, straight, it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at the body that he had in Saturday Night Fever, and I mean, that was like he was a hell of a specimen. Seriously, I'm sure that'll get taken out of context, and you know, somebody will think that I'm gay or something. We've got the blog that I wrote for our website is posted on our website, WWL.com. It's titled, Is the Far Left More Violent Than the Far Right? And it's all about the violence that broke out, apparently from the far left, in Portland, Seattle, and Denver yesterday after the inauguration of Joe Biden. Let's go to Joy, who is in New Orleans. Joy, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. I almost forgot I was on hold.
You're on hold. Thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make a comment just to give you the context. So I didn't vote for Donald Trump. In fact, I was quite upset about his election in 2016. But I wanted to share something really positive, I think, that came out of, you know, the last 4 years for me personally, and something that I hope other people can be inspired to do. You know, I kind of went from being kind of a passive participant in our government to becoming a lot more active and becoming a member of my neighborhood organization and, you know, doing my own research to learn about how local government works. And what I really realized out of this is that, you know, I am the government. You know, when we talk about the government or we talk about the parties as being, you know, far away or like things that we're kind of nagging at to do what we want.
Do you think that happened? And not just because you reached a certain age and became more cognizant of things like politics, but it was President Trump that drove you to this.
I think so. I think it was a combination because, you know, so I'm 35, just to share my age. So I mean, you could say on one hand that Obama was really the first president that I voted for as an adult, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But I would have been a little bit older, obviously, for 2016. And maybe it was an age thing, but maybe it was sort of realizing that I'm looking at representatives that are currently in leadership and I don't feel that they represent me. And is that because I haven't contacted them? You know, is that because I haven't done my part in participating? And what I found when I kind of turned my attention to, you know, what is it that I need to do as a member of this democracy besides just showing up at a poll one day? You know, I should maybe prepare a little bit first, or maybe I should learn who the mayor is, or, you know, who the DA is, and kind of look a little bit deeper. And really what it made me do is kind of realize that the majority of people do not exist on the fringe, even though those tend to be the loudest and they get a lot of media coverage. And, you know, from that perspective, it makes me less afraid of my neighbor. And it also gives me a lot more hope. So things that I was afraid of happening in 2016 didn't happen because most people are decent. And people started participating again. So I just wanted to kind of share that sort of message of hope that I experience. And I hope people that are feeling a little bit afraid or worried about Biden becoming president can kind of take that for whatever it is for them. And, you know,
Joy, that's just really, it's a beautiful thought, and you're right. And I try to remind us, you know, when I talk about the relationship between mass media and society, which is one of my favorite topics. I mean, I could go 3 hours on that just about every day, but I try to remind people that we are not who we think we are based on the news. The news does not define us, because it's the nature of news, which is based on human nature, that the negative news gets more attention than positive news. You know, if there's a car parked on the side of the road, it's not going to get any attention. If it's a wreck, people slow down. So it's human nature to be intrigued by violence. It doesn't mean you want it, but to be fascinated with violence and things that are out of the ordinary. So that's why the fringe, you know, people will always get more attention. I mean, think about coverage of like a gay pride day. You know, you're going to get the drag queens. You're not going to get the guy who is a lawyer and wears a three-piece suit every day.
Right. Or someone who wants to have a normal married life, or, you know, someone who would just be in every way similar to a heterosexual person, but, you know, happens to be gay. Right.
The only difference is what they do in the bedroom, and that should be a private thing anyway.
Exactly.
Joy, I love that you're listening, and I appreciate you calling our show.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks. Let's go to Big Joe in Biloxi. Big Joe, hey.
Hello, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good.
Great. I would like to just kind of give a purview of to let people recognize where we are.
Okay.
You know, first, where what led us down this primrose path is the fact that at the last election, because of the protests and all of the things that Donald Trump was accused of pre him taking office, the peaceful transfer of power that people speak so highly of now didn't happen. And when that didn't happen, what happened was Barack Obama was allowed to keep the confidence of the American people. So what that did was ultimately usurped our authority. A big testament of it was this election, which 75 million people voted for Donald Trump and 80 or 81 million for Joe Biden. But the problem with that is this. When something is an overwhelming victory, you take something from the person that you beat. The person that you beat doesn't do better than they've done ever. You know, so that's kind of a fundamental thing.
Yeah.
But while where we are now is, as representative, I really noticed it in the inaugural mall. They had 200-some thousand flags, and this was a verbatim comment that represented the American people. So what has happened? I think through that process in which we didn't have the peaceful transfer of power, we were allowed to become, in a great instance, a constitutional monarchy, where we have a government, which we have a president and vice president. And something about that, I've never seen a president or vice president build together so much. And what I mean by that is, you're in show business, you know where your name goes in the title, or there are about the title, depends on the role you play. And I right. think it is also noted by how Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won Time's Person of the Year. If it was persons, that means you may be in the COO, I may have been the CEO, but we did it together, this project, and we done it. But by them being the person, that gives them the same identity, the same role, the same accolade. And that's not how the government is supposed to work. So we've been usurped by some entity who represents us through COVID-19 protocol. You know, the founding fathers never thought of a social aspect. We now have social media. We now have Twitter. We now have a lot of entities who can say that they represent a certain voice of the people, when really they don't have to. They have an electronic presence. But really, do they have to have a personable presence, like a registered voter or something like that? No, they don't. So our place in this nation has been usurped, and someone else is speaking for us, and in not in a constitutional sense.
All right. Well, very quickly, very briefly, who do you think is speaking for us?
Well, in a monarch usually already has all of the connections through nepotism or something like that. So it has to be someone who was a former leader of this country and someone who's highly looked up to, because they are given the standard of what's right and wrong. We need to erase what these people are saying. None of those things are democratic, and I dare say constitutional either. So we have to look at who's saying these things for us as per the internet and things like that.
Well, you know, there are dangers in paying too much attention to what people say on the internet. I mean, we've gone on and on about that. And the problem is not what people say. The problem is that people believe it. That's where the problem lies. People accepting as the truth something that's simply not true, but it's something that they
absolutely
want to be true.
You're absolutely right, but I'll give you this. A monarch controls only the social aspect of a country. Every COVID-19 protocol is run on a social aspect, 6 feet apart, must wear a mask, must wash hands, can't gather in public, can't go to church, all social. So the things that I say may seem far-fetched, but really, literally, the theory backs itself up. The mask, all of those things are being imposed upon us, and we're being led to believe that it's us that's imposing it, but it's not. You know, basically for 9 months they had four states that had these governors that, for all intents and purposes, seceded from the union behind the COVID laws that they wanted to impose.
All right. Well, the government does make suggestions about what to do. The government tells you when there's a hurricane coming, get the hell out of the way. And it's really up to you to either get out of the way or not. So the government isn't putting the mask on you. It's giving you a guideline of what to do. Big Joe, I appreciate the call. That was very cerebral. I'm going to have to think about that that just a little bit. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. The WWL Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. All right, so remember American Graffiti? Remember the disc jockey at American Graffiti? His name was Wolfman Jack. Wolfman Jack was really the first shock jock. I mean, long before Howard Stern, long before Scoot in the Morning. This guy was just a shock jock. I mean, he would say very suggestive things. There was a rumor that Wolfman Jack was broadcasting from a boat 3 miles off the coast of Los Angeles so he could say whatever he wanted because he was in international waters. And then he also had a big high-powered signal at a radio station, XERF-AM, in Mexico. So he was like Wild and Renegade. His name was Robert Smith. He was born on this day in 1938, would have been 93 years old today. And he was the MC of the Rolling Stones concert in the mid-80s. And so I'm backstage at the Stones concert. Remember, this is the mid-80s, not now. And I offered him, I said, you want to do some coke? And I thought he would, you know, take the little vial and do a little coke and give it back to me. No, Wolfman Jack took the whole vial. I think it was like a Friday night. I mean, he took the whole thing and walked off. Wait a minute. No. And what am I going to do? Tell the police officer? But hey, officer, Wolfman Jack just stole my cocaine. I mean, you're here to protect and serve, man. Come on, protect me. Go get my coke from that guy. Anyway, he just thought he was entitled to the whole damn thing. So anyway, that's my memory of Wolfman Jack. But he was the original shock jock. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, Thursday afternoon. That means tomorrow is Free For All Friday on the show. We'll have fun with that. We'll talk about the inauguration, talk about some stuff. We'll try to keep it as light as we possibly can. Let's go to Larry in a truck. Larry, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on, Larry.
Hey, Scoot, thank you and for keying me in. But, Scoot, let me ask you a question, buddy.
Yeah.
I've been knowing you since way back when. I used to call you and ask you to play songs for me and my little sister and my family on the radio. And I tell you what, John Travolta ain't got nothing on you, Jack. You
I've seen
you in your bell bottoms. I done seen you dance. He ain't got nothing on you, Jack.
No, let me tell you, no. In that movie, I appreciate the compliment, but that's simply not true. John Travolta had, you know, just had like the perfect. He was like the perfect specimen in that movie. Not that I was attracted to his body, but I'm secure enough with my own masculinity to point out, hey, that guy's got a great body.
All right, you just have a great afternoon and think what you want, and I'll think what I want.
All right, thank you, Larry. Yeah, somebody thinks I got a great body. It's fine. No, I don't. I mean, look, I got a mirror. I'm at home. I see myself in the shower. I know I don't have that kind of body. Let's go to Covington. Carl, you're on WWL.
Hey.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, this guy Oscar that called. I mean, I can't understand why you could agree with what he was saying. He said Trump was the only president that had less people working when he left office than when he went in.
Yeah, it's true.
Can you say why that might be?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you say why that might be?
Well, the pandemic, yeah.
Yeah, and also the same thing with the deficit. What's driving the deficit right now?
Well, the deficit was on its way in this direction long before the pandemic.
Right.
And Carl, we're talking about facts here. Now, there's a reason. There's a reason for the facts. But I guarantee you, if Joe Biden, if something happened and a Democrat was in the White House, Republicans would use the facts against him if he was factually the president that left the White House with fewer jobs than when he took the White House. And also the problem is, and President Trump was not to blame for the pandemic, he's to blame for how he handled it. And there are so many people that thought it could have been handled differently, and maybe fewer jobs would have been lost. That's speculation. So I'm not, you know, I'm not making a big deal about the president having less jobs when he left the office, but that is a fact.
Hindsight's 2020, Scoot.
I get it.
It'd be new tomorrow. Something they'll find out something about COVID tomorrow.
I get it. And if there's something,
say stuff.
All right.
And when before COVID started, the unemployment rate was the lowest in history.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about the unemployment rate. I mean, I guess that's related to jobs to some degree. But you know, look, Carl, like it's, I mean, don't worry about it. I mean, it's a fact, but I'm not making a big deal about that. Somebody brings it up as a fact, and look, the other side would bring up as a fact if there's something negative about a Democrat. What's that?
I called just like everybody else does, just to say what I had to say, and
that's
I said
fine.
It.
No, it's fine. I appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Robert, who is in Gonzales. Robert, welcome.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Scoot, if I had your job, every time I get off, I would drink a bottle of gin.
How do you know I don't?
I mean, these guys are coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I kind of prepare for battle every day before I go in the air. Yeah.
Well, that's all I have to say, man. Have a good day.
All right, Robert, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Cosmo. Cosmo, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Quick shout-out to my friend and Gentile Justin. I'm glad he played his drums yesterday to Led Zeppelin. The song remains the same. Always good to hear from Justin. Look, I hope I voted for the president, the last president, President Trump, twice, because even though I didn't like his demeanor and some of his comments, especially during the Republican primary, when he slammed Rubio, Cruz, Jeb Bush, and Farino, the lady. So, I mean, but I like his policies, and I hope that the new president, I wish him well and the administration, that because if the country does well, yeah, we all do well. The only thing I'm concerned about, Scoot, during the pandemic is his open borders policy on the immigration when we're having trouble getting it under control, because we don't know what a lot of these people coming in.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know of any information that Joe Biden represents open borders, but we'll have to see. And if he does, we'll be here to talk about it. Cosmo, got to get to a break. Glad you called the show. Yeah, I mean, again, people pick up little snippets, especially from social media. And man, it's like, then that like becomes fact. Is Joe Biden going to open up the borders? You talk to some Republicans and they're convinced that he's going to. Is he? Well, let's wait and see. And if he doesn't, will they admit that they're wrong? Many will not. On this day in 1984, I was doing the morning show on B97 here in New Orleans, and I played this song probably every morning, maybe even more than once a morning. This was a big change, a pop, danceable song in the mid-80s from the band Yes. This song was number one in America on this day in 1984. We'll be back on WWL. Hey, let's end the show with one more classic hit from the album In a Metal Mood, No More Mr. Nice Guy. Pat Boone doing rock and roll covers. Actually, heavy metal covers. I mean, this was kind of heavy metal at the time. Here's Pat Boone. Sing it, baby. Hey, can we get some more pretzels over here? Yeah, I'll take another drink. This is lounge music. Yeah, on this day in 1997, Pat Boone released this very controversial album. Controversial with many Christians because it was him singing rock songs. Oh, my God. How appalling. Ian told me we just got a text from somebody who said, talk about Joe Biden being a Catholic. That should mean a lot to the people of Louisiana. We do have a lot of Catholics here. And Joe Biden is a Catholic. He's only the second president ever elected who was a Catholic. The first one was John F. Kennedy. And there was a lot of talk during the campaign when John F. Kennedy was running for president. There was a lot of talk. And he actually did made a big major speech in Houston before a religious group saying that he would not use his Catholic faith to govern. And there was a lot of concern about that. There even concern that he might even consult the Pope before making a decision for the United States. But that doesn't seem to be a concern today. But Joe Biden is a deeply faithful person. Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. So they'll be talking about the Saints salary cap and some things like that. So join them. Plus, Zach Streif will join the guys on the show this afternoon. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our market manager, Kevin Cassidy, our show producer, Todd Manassas, and our senior studio producer, Ian Hoko, always does a phenomenal job. Join me on social media tonight. It's an extension of the show. I'll be on, after 9 o'clock, I'll be on Facebook Live, and then I jump right over with another topic to Scoot on the Air Instagram. So I hope you will become a regular part of that. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. So tomorrow is Free for All Friday. I don't know what we'll have to do, maybe a few serious things, but we will do the best we can to make it a fun, light, free-for-all Friday. Hope you'll join us. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.